Sim StoryCorps is a candid conversation between two educators about what's really important in the field of education: students, connections, hope, success. How did Sim contribute to attaining what matters most? Listen to these stories of the educator's heart to find out. Then we invite you to find a partner and tell your story. In this Sim StoryCorps, we'll hear Roseanne Arvin, a Sim professional development leader in Florida, and Bev Colombo, a Sim professional development leader in Missouri, share why Sim kept them in the field of education.
Hi, Roseanne. I know you've been involved with Sim a really long time, as I have, and I was just wondering how you got started and why you're still continuing to this day.
Hi, Bev. Good to talk to you. My story is what kept me actually in education. So I started out my career in 1980, and I was working with special education students at the K-5 level. And at that time, those students came to a resource classroom for reading and math. And at the end of 5 years, a colleague said to me, "Let's go to the high school." And I thought, at that time, if you were a special education teacher, you could teach anything, any content area. You did not have to have any additional certifications. Those students just came to you for that coursework. So we moved to the high school. We both got at the same school. And I was assigned to teach English 1. And after about a year and a half into it, I was really questioning whether to stay in the field of education, period. I did not feel like I was doing any good for those students. It was very frustrating. They were in no better shape than the fifth graders that I had just left. I didn't have good tools to use with them. And a flyer came, and that flyer was for the proficiency in sentence writing strategy. So I went and was amazed by what I saw. But being a smart aleck, when I went back to my classroom with students, I did not follow that instructional sequence like I should have. And so I skipped around, and I really did not get the results they told me I was going to get. So I went in one day and I apologized to my class and said, "If you will continue to play with me, I am going to do my best to implement this the way they told me to and see if it makes a difference." Turning point in my career. It kept me in education, so much so that I just retired last year after 40 years, having spent 40 years with special education students. There was such profound successes with the strategic instruction model that I just simply never turned around. So I'm wondering, Bev, we don't get a chance to talk very much, and so I don't really know much background. What's your story?
Well, actually, it's very similar. I started out a little bit differently. I live in St. Louis, Missouri. So I've been a teacher in Missouri most of my career. Moved around a little. I was one of the, really the original Sim people. So I, started teaching a few years before you in like 1976. But my background is a little different. I had a background in psychology, and I worked in psychiatric hospitals. So I wasn't actually in education for quite a few years at the beginning. And then my master's degree is actually in EDBD, emotional disturbances. And I worked, like I said, worked in psychiatric hospitals. So I didn't really have much background in instruction. And they just threw me in. My first job was as a consultant for secondary schools. And just to give a little background, historical background on this, there were no services for students after sixth grade at that time. So I was in the first group of people that was going to begin services for secondary students. I had not even taught in a classroom yet, but I was going to be a consultant. Great idea. And so I was.
What a challenge.
Yeah, exactly. I was assigned to a middle school, a high school, and an alternative school. So I had 100 kids on my caseload, and I was responsible for all of the testing, all the evaluations, the reevaluations, the IEPs, on and on and on. And I was supposed to actually sort of do something with the students to help them also. So because there really was nothing for secondary students at that time, I essentially tutored them as much as I could and tried to help them out in their classes, try to get them to pass their courses, things like that. But with 100 kids, that was really pretty hard. And I was really frustrated because I felt like, here, I've just completed a master's degree And I really debated what I wanted to do with my psychology degree, be a psychologist, be a social worker. And I chose education because I thought I could really help students. But like you, I felt like I wasn't really doing much for secondary students at all. So by the end of my first year, I was already wondering if I should continue teaching. So even earlier than you were wondering that. And fortunately, my supervisor asked me if I wanted to go to a CEC conference in Atlanta. And I thought, well, why not? They're paying for it. And so I might as well go. Maybe I'll learn something there. And so I picked a session, a breakout session on secondary research, since that's what I was doing. And the presenter was this guy named Don Deschler from the University of Kansas. And he presented this new theory about struggling secondary students. He explained their research on these students at KU, that they were conducting research on why these kids struggled so much, and that they felt that many of the students were strategy deficient. And at that time, they had this red book of strategies that they had created, and they were researching those. And so this kind of made sense to me. At least it was something that, you know, was different. And so I asked if I could have the red book. So the next year I had that little red book, and I using some of the strategies in the red book, but it didn't work very well because I didn't know about effective instruction. And so, you know, I didn't have the instructional, you said you varied from it. You kind of went and just did what, you know, you wanted to. I didn't even have anything. Right. To follow, actually. So finally, you know, long story short, a couple of years later, we finally got to be involved in a pilot of teachers in our district that were going to learn the strategies and implement them. So my first strategies were paraphrasing and proficiency in sentence writing, just like you. I have a background in English. I have a minor in English, and you know, I actually could. I had an emergency certificate for English too. So at least I had enough background to know that this proficiency in sentence writing was very good. And yeah. I followed it exactly. I implemented with great fidelity, and our kids did really well. I struggled a little bit more with paraphrasing just because you had to listen to all these audio tapes. And, you know, it was, you know, now we have fundamentals of summarizing and paraphrasing. We have all those prerequisite skills, but my kids needed a lot of those prerequisite skills too. And then every year we get a couple more strategies. My story is so similar to yours in the sense that I actually, about my second, third year of teaching, I went to broadcast school to go into broadcast journalism because I thought that this teaching thing is not working out for me. I'm not going to spend the rest of my career tutoring kids. So it really, I always say that SIM is the reason I'm still in education. And I am not retired yet. I failed retirement twice now. So promoting SIM like every day. There's not a day that goes by that I don't say, you know, KU or SIM somewhere during the day.
And too, my first introduction to Don Deschler was also at a CEC conference.
I was going to say, it's a good thing he went to all those CEC conferences because I don't, you know, where you know, a lot of us probably wouldn't be here anymore if it weren't for that. So
at least we have those stories, those kids who said thank you, those parents who said thank you. Yeah. Well, it was great talking to you. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's so fun to hear that how parallel our stories are.